We continue on with our church covenant this today, and this will be paragraph 4. Our devotional and background study comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. For I believe what he's saying there is, if you are angry, don't sin, but go take care of whatever is the problem before the sun goes down. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? We carry on with our church covenant here today, and this will be paragraph 4 of the church covenant, and I'll read that before we start the lesson. And it says, and I'm reading this out of the Sunday school book, if anybody wants to read along from there, y'all can see that. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember one another in prayer, to aid one another in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and Christian courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. And our lesson text comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, if it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundance comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinth here, and he's giving them instructions on their responsibilities one to another. And as I studied this, I noticed that this comes almost immediately after that Paul has chastised them. If you go over just to the other page here, he's talking about how they're coming together for the Lord's Supper, and he's bringing them to kind of bringing them to task here because they're not doing that properly and they're not doing it in order. So he's put some things in, he's straightening them out here in the previous page. And then he goes on here in this section, and he's telling them concerning one another how they have various responsibilities and various gifts and various callings, and that they're all in need of each other. They all need to be doing what it is that the Lord would have them to do. He's using this example here of our physical body. You know, we need our eyes, we need our ears, we need our feet and our hands. And this is what Paul has pointed out to them. You don't think more of your hands than you do your feet. You know, they have different duties, they have different responsibilities, but you need them both. And he's telling this church here at Corinth that every member has a place. They all have a responsibility. They all have something to contribute to the Lord's church. And he's telling them here that they have to work together. And I believe this is very much needful for us today as a church body, that we need to be here, we need to be working together, and we need to be doing what it is the Lord would have us do. You know, we have a lot of members here that don't show up very often. We have a lot that just show up every now and then, some that are on the books that don't show up at all. Well, they have a place. They have something that they should be doing. If they're not here, that means somebody else is going to have to be doing it. And I would kind of compare that to, you know, those of us that are here and we have to take up the slack. It's kind of like walking on your hands. You know, it can be done, but it can't be done very well. It's not, you can't go very fast. It really slows your body down. And we have a lot of examples in the world of people that are handicapped, crippled. And y'all know yourself, as we get older, our hearing begins to be not quite as good in our eyesight. I see most of us here are wearing glasses because we don't see as well as we used to. And it's a hindrance to us. The reason I'm bringing that out is because the same situation will occur in the church when the members aren't doing what God would have them to do, when they're not supporting their church and they're not supporting God the way that He would have them to. And that's what Paul is telling this church here in Corinth, I believe, to do what the Lord would have you to do, to support each other, to love one another, to put each other, esteem each other more than yourself, so that they might help each other out. And again, this comparison to a physical body, our physical body that we have here, is can be applied to the work that's to be done in the church. I'm wearing glasses. I didn't wear glasses 20 years ago. I didn't need them, but now I do, and I'm thankful for these glasses. Without them, things would really be difficult. This text would have to be a lot bigger if I was going to read it, and so I'm thankful for that to help me through. But we have these things that we have to depend on, and we have to depend on each other, and we need to be in prayer for each other, to be thankful for one another. I guess I'm going to get a little bit sidetracked here, because the thought of being thankful came to my mind this morning. How many of you here have running water in your house? Okay. There's quite a few of you have. I guess some of you may not have. But a lot of us have running water. And, all right. Yeah. And I can even go one better than I have. Hot and cold running water. Yeah, exactly. The reason I'm bringing that up today is as I was brushing my teeth and I had the water running, wasting some of it. And it just, the thought just came to my mind. That's something that we ought to be thankful for. I've heard people, I've never had a house that didn't have running water. I've never lived in a house that didn't have running water. But I know that some of you might have. And I've heard people talk about having to go out to wells. I've heard people talk about schools that where they had to go out to draw water up. I didn't experience that, but I know that it's been that way in times past. But I'm guessing that there's probably more people in the world, in the entire world, that don't have running water in their house than do. I don't know that for a fact. But I know there's a lot of places in the world where that's not common. That you don't. It's not something they're taking for granted because they don't have it. They don't have it to take for granted. But I kind of do, and it crossed my mind. You know, I should be thankful for that. We read sometimes about the persecution that the church endured in the Middle Ages, how people were put to death, and the way they suffered, the people that were persecuting them were cruel. I mean, they didn't just kill them; they killed them slow and painful. And we kind of tend to think of that as something that happened hundreds or even thousands of years ago. But weren't you telling me that you read somewhere that was it 90,000 people were put to death last year for being Christians? Do you remember us talking
about that? Yeah, I remember us talking about that.
I think the number was 90,000 people, and neither one of us remembers this very well. It's been more than a day, but there were a lot of people in 2016 put to death for being Christians. A lot, thousands of people. 90,000 comes to my mind, but that could be wrong.
But
it was millions in the Dark Ages. But my point is, don't think about it as something that happened a long time ago. It's going on today. It's occurring today. And it may not be occurring in the United States, but it is occurring in the world. And yes, exactly. It is occurring in the world. And it's something that, you know, we're just like the running water. I'm taking it for granted that I can show up here today and I can say whatever the Lord directs me to say, or I can say things that the Lord doesn't direct me to say. I've got, you know, the Lord's given me freedom and the government's given me freedom today to stand up here and talk and say, and it's going out over the internet all over the world. And so I just take that freedom for granted, just like I take that water running. I've always had both of them. It's always been there for me, but it hasn't always been there, and it's not there today for a lot of people in the world. So we need to be careful not to take that for granted. Now, I got off track here from our church covenant, but the message here to the Corinthians was to support one another and to pray for one another and to be doing the business and to understand that we don't all have the same thing to offer to the Lord. We don't all have, but not to, I can't be lifted up and think, wow, I've got a really important job here. I'm a Sunday school teacher. That's not the case. He's saying here in the 22nd verse here, he says, "Nay, much more of those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." Now, I don't know what you might think would be the more honorable position or the less honorable position, but he goes on to say here in the 24th verse, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together." That is, God has joined this body and built this body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That is, the part that didn't have it. God is there to supply the comeliness, the beauty, and the grace, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And this is something that we need to be aware of as well. There shouldn't be any divisions in a church body. There shouldn't be any disagreement. If there is, the two that are in disagreement need to get together and talk about it and pray about it above all things, that Lord's will might be done, and study their Bible and come to an agreement. Just like in the devotional background studies, it said, be ye angry, let not the sun go down on your wrath. If you're upset about something, if something's bothering you, if something's come up, take care of it. Pray about it. Study about it. Meditate on it with God. And talk to the, if there's another person involved, it could be someone else involved, it might not be, but talk to that person and get things worked out somehow or the other through prayer. Get that worked out. Don't just let it go on and build up, because that's a, and then right after that it said, don't give place to the devil. Well, if you don't take care of a problem that's bothering you, the devil's got an opportunity there, and he'll take it. He'll be there. He's waiting. He's watching, and he's there, ready to devour whoever he can. And the person that he can devour is the person that's not following God's will, not studying this and working things out, not taking care of it before the sun goes down, the Bible says. So those are things that we as church members are faced with, because it happens. We can't stick our head in the sand and say, we're a small group here. We're all in agreement. We're going along. We're all right. No, Satan is out there ready to throw something up, ready to throw something up in your mind that, did you see what he did? I can't believe he did that. That was just wrong. He should have known better than that. And there you go. I mean, that's gonna build up and multiply and eat at somebody if they're not prepared, if they're not studied and having these thoughts and these meditating upon these things that the Bible teaches us about here. Another thought that came to my mind here, throughout this week, we're going to be thinking about things. There's going to be something on our mind all week long. And I'd ask each and every one of you, as your week goes by and the thought is on your mind, stop for a minute and consider, is this thought that's going through my mind, is it pleasing to God? Is it of God? Because it's going to be coming from somewhere. Now, I understand that, you know, you've got to wash dishes, or you've got to get up and go to work, or you've got to drive somewhere. I know that. That's not what I'm talking about. There's going to be free time, and there's going to be times when you don't have things to do. Where are your thoughts at that time? And I can tell you from experience that my thoughts, when I stop and I consider what's going on, they're probably, there's a good chance they're not where they ought to be. They're not where God would have them be. They might be on something that I want to do, something that I want to see, something that I want to go somewhere or want to get or gain or whatever. We've got to be careful and watch and see, is this the direction the Lord wants my mind to go? Is it where He would have it to go? Because those thoughts might not be, I'm not saying that they're going to be wrong or sinful, but they can lead you places that God wouldn't be leading you. So it's just something to be aware of, and because we're not just meeting here, we're not just serving God 1 or 2 hours a week in church. We're serving God all week. The Bible teaches me, I believe, that my life should be in Him. He should abide in me. That should go on all throughout the week, 7 days a week. Again, that's a little bit off from what our lesson is today. But if we neglect those things, then we neglect our church members, our fellow, our brethren, because we won't be praying about them. We won't be thinking about them. We won't be thinking about their family members, the lost that are associated with our church. I believe that's where God will have our thoughts to be when we don't have things that have to be attended to in this life. I believe God wants us to be thinking about Him, to be thankful to Him for the things that He's done for us. I'm just about done here. I didn't read the lesson key. Let me read that here. And it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That we need to have each other on our minds and on our hearts, not just Sunday morning, but all throughout the week, to be praying for one another, that the Lord might be with us and that He might be with you and helping us through. Because there's going to be some hard times come up next week. It might not be terribly hard. It might not be life-threatening. But Satan's going to be out there to throw something in front of us. You can rest assured of that. Satan's out there ready before the day's over. And don't give place to him, as the Bible said. That's everything I've got. Anybody have any comments or any questions? Yes. And you know, sometimes that's kind of hard to do, because Satan knows what you want to think about. He knows what you want to, the direction you want to go, and sometimes it's pretty easy to be in agreement with Satan. I mean, your flesh just wants to go places that Satan will take you if you will let him. So yeah, say get thee behind. That's easier to say sometimes than it is to actually do. So it does. I agree with you. Yes.
At work, it's commission watch because I work in law firm, and it's everywhere. But I have my own office, and I can play music with their clients, and I will put the call out station on, and that helps me so much to listen to gospel music. There are some jobs that I can't do that. That when I'm sitting at my desk, I can concentrate and do that. And that helps so much. Listen to gospel music and to have that. Going through my mind, it's just like all those other things that go on at work, they don't matter.
If you can focus your mind on the Lord, mm-hmm. somehow or the other, those other things don't matter. They won't bother you nearly as much. So, I agree with you 100%.
We need y'all's prayers, too. At work.
Thank you.
Last week, you talked a lot about love. Since we are again this week, this love is found at the root of unity and harmony. Selflessness is found at the basis of discontent. I was thinking to myself, a lot of times we could have better unity if we agree to disagree quickly. And you say, well, that's not the right thing to do. Well, it gets the parties to, you know, look at things from a different perspective. They both can be right. And this is what Jesus said. He said, agree with thine adversary quickly. So I'm just going to give you scripture to go along with it. Whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, thou be cast into prison. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, you just have to let it go. There's no sense in letting it boil over, because what it does, it allows the disharmony and allows the influence and spirit of the gospel to reach those that need to be, you know, reached. And I really like the food for thought. It says, if we strive to do the commandments of this covenant, that covenant, we will have less time in which we will be able to disobey it. I thought that was a really good food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
That we spend more of our time seeing how we measure up to the covenant. We spend a whole lot less time seeing how everybody else in the church is doing that.
That's true.
I think we're pretty good at that. But I'm not so good at looking at myself in the mirror. I thought it was a really good lesson.
Appreciate y'all all being here today. I'm glad that David and Linda showed up again today. It's always good to have them here.
He's going to be having knee surgery, total replacement here in a couple of weeks.
So he does need our prayers.
Yeah.
We'll remember that.
Jesus stress is law. Some of the law stress. Just comes here.
I need you all.
If there's nothing else, let's remember the prayer request that was made earlier today, ones that were made earlier this month, all of the ones that haven't been answered. Let's try to keep those in our mind. I'll ask Brother Don if he would dismiss us.